Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Spech.
Hello.
Derek, what's happening?
I am not here.
You are not here. We had to record this a bit early so that you could venture forth upon the lands and drive your motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Having fun? Are you having a good time?
I am.
Really?
Yeah.
What have you seen so far?
Hopefully I'm still alive.
Oh, that'd be good. Because, you know. But anybody that wants to take Derek's place, start getting your resume ready just
exactly.
in case.
Yeah.
Things happen. Maybe he won't come back. Maybe he'll just keep on going.
Yeah.
You're heading out east?
I am. So we are, it's me and a couple of my buddies. There's five of us. We are traveling, Montreal, heading south, Vermont. Going to do a ride up Mount Washington, cross the border at Maine into New Brunswick, go to Cape Breton, do the Cabot Trail, two loops type thing, then back through and visit Halifax for a day and visit some of our old military buddies and then make our way back to Ontario again.
If you're doing the Cabot Trail, you're going to be going by Lake Bradour?
I am.
I'll get you the address of a George's Convenience.
Okay.
They do ice cream and all that during the summer.
Friends of our own. Want me to bring you back ice cream?
Yeah. Yeah. No, just drop in and say, Sean sent us and said something about free ice cream. Well, friends of ours own it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'll get you the information there, but they won't give you free ice cream. And if they do, well, that's on them. But but if you, like I say, if you're going to be that way, I'll.
Absolutely.
I'll give you the information. You can stop. And apparently they're quite busy place.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, they took it over. They left here. He was worked for the TTC, mechanic and whatnot. And they packed up, headed back. Because I guess that's where, I don't know about him, but I think that's where she's from originally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she just posted pictures the other day there, last week, I guess. Heather Rankin from the Rankin family was there. So,
Cool.
Nice little
nice
little business as opposed to doing the big old hustle and bustle in Toronto. So they went back home.
It'll be nice to visit somewhere for a nice purpose, like ice cream, as opposed to, like, a couple of guys have Harleys. So
Harley dealerships?
Yes, we visited every one.
Every single one marked on a map.
Something always breaks. Something rattles free. The fairing breaks because of all the vibrations. And
it's the old Canardly rolls. Canardly get up one side of the hill and it rolls down the other, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's one thing I've always heard about Harleys is they're great when they're working.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the rumbling and something's always coming loose or breaking or, and then it's expensive, but
You just make your choices.
Yeah. So you should have a good time.
Yes.
Looks like good weather so far.
I haven't even looked.
Oh, you should.
I don't trust long rain forecast.
Oh, I do. Especially those hurricanes that are coming through. You're going to love them. You're going to love them. Can motorcyclists fly? Yes, they can. it should be good. But so we've had to
record
a little bit ahead. And
so just a short time ago, we talked about
last week's episode.
Yeah, and last week's episode, we talked about me needing finding my passport. And my wife has since texted me saying, yep, it's in the basket in the closet.
So you know your passport is.
Yes, I do.
So you can get across and they will let you back in. Or at least you can get across.
Yeah.
So if you don't have if you lose your passport while you're over there, will they let you back in? Because they'd have a record of you actually crossing.
Yes, they would have a record. I imagine there's something. And it's not like another country where you'd have to go get an emergency passport at an embassy or something, but it's Canada, U.S.
What if you got over the border and then somebody placed a call?
Don't even joke.
Oh, yeah, our phones listen, don't they? Oh, geez. So, what can I say you're going to smuggle across the border or back? My phone's listening. I got my phone right here.
And they do listen.
Can you bring me back a case of air?
What's funny, because every time we talk about stuff, the next day I'll have ads on Facebook.
It's I'm still getting ads for motorcycles after we talked about looking at the Indian motorcycles.
Yeah.
I'm still getting ads for that.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
It's the FBI, and we don't even have the FBI in this country. It was the CIA.
NSA.
Yeah, NSA, whoever. But, yeah, that's it's Google. Google wants to know everything about you, Derek.
Well, they all listen.
So I tell them. I sit up at night telling them. Send Derek stuff on aliens and gummy bears. And that's why you get all that weird stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's me, dude. You're welcome.
Well, there's always these jokes because something's always listening.
Right.
What is it? Some radio station was playing a joke during the morning radio show. He would just suddenly say, "Alexa, order 1,200 pool noodles." And then somebody says, "Oh, no, Alexa, no."
Could you imagine 1,200 pool noodles just showing up all of a sudden?
It's like, what the heck?
You got an Alexa at home, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, we don't. I don't want one of those in my house.
She's that always listening.
Bad enough.
She's always listening.
No, I'm not. What? Well, we got a couple things to talk about, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I came across an article, as I do, and this is something that never really occurred to me. But you know what people, they go out and they'll get a kayak and when they're on vacation somewhere,
yep.
Like go to Thailand or something like that, go kayaking or Malaysia or wherever. This guy wrote an article saying, carry some cash while paddling in the middle of nowhere can be handy.
When you get mugged?
Yeah. Well, they take your wallet and they leave the kayak. Right?
There you go.
Yeah. I got no wallet. Well, give me your kayak then.
Yeah.
You might encounter fishermen. This gives you a great opportunity to access incredibly fresh catches.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in the bay off Gertak Sangul in Penang, I once came across clam collectors. And I mean, not only are you getting the fresh clams, but seeing them do what they do is pretty cool too, right? The seabed was about 4 meters deep, and I watched as two men dove in galvanized iron pipe into the bottom. They used it as a guide to scrape the seabed for clams with custom-made stainless steel cage rakes. He says they look like commandos to me with cloth around their heads and holes cut out for their eyes and mouths. They said there are many jellyfish here. We cover ourselves like this to protect our skin. The clams they raked up were huge. Luckily, my wallet was in my waterproof bag and I had some money with me. I bought some clams from them and boy, were they delicious. In Chendero Lake near Kuala Kangsar, I bumped into a fisherman with a large haul of kilabaw fish. I think that's how I would say kilabaw.
Kilabaw.
We exchanged phone numbers, became friends, and now whenever I visit Chendero Lake, I text him and bring along some cash so I can buy my fish from him fair and square.
There you go.
He sells kilabaw fish to collectors, which I presume would be the buyers,
mm-hmm.
for 20 to 30 ringgits per kilogram. While at the fish restaurants, we, the end consumers, buy them for about 100 per kilogram.
Yeah, so they're making more than they would normally make.
Yeah.
And you save a lot from the lack of markup.
Right? So you give them maybe 50, so they make some more, and you save 50 still.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I meet fishermen at sea or on a lake, I try my best to pay them almost what I would pay at a restaurant to give them the joy of selling to end customers. It's good enough for me to buy super fresh fish, just a little cheaper than market or restaurant prices, while enjoying the chance to meet with another person on the water. That said, I have encountered fishermen who were not so friendly. It was as if I were an intruder on their fishing grounds. Perhaps someone had violated their nets or traps in the past. Now I greet them heartily from meters away, ask permission to come abreast of their boats before drawing near. The friendly ones tend to get curious about my kayak or paddleboard and really want to know how stable my watercraft is, since mine is a whole lot narrower than theirs. Once the ice is broken, they become really proud of showing what they have caught, and if there is a tasty fish on their boat, The money I would be carrying would make the humble fisherman happy and grant me a fabulous meal to remember for a long time.
Hmm.
So this guy, Arnold Lowe, wrote this article and says, yeah, he's been doing this. And something that never really occurred to me. Now, I mean, I don't know that we would do it here because some dude's out in the boat.
Yeah, not
fishing here in Lake Ontario or something. Even up north, like it wouldn't be. But if you're going visiting to another country, something like that, where they sell, you know, catch the fish to sell to make money for their families, that'd be a bit different. That'd be kind of cool to do something like that.
I've done this. I've done. So I was in. My parents are in St. John de Brunswick. I was visiting. We did a ride out to St. Martin's, and St. Martin's is a big fishing village. And so we just we're heading home. Let's stop at the dock. And so we chatted up some fishermen and bought a couple lobsters off them that they had just caught and took them home, cooked them up at home. But afterwards, I compared prices. And it's like, I'm pretty sure I paid more from that fisherman than what I would buy it in the grocery store.
Yeah, I guess that would sort of be a bit of a way to do that around. In Canada, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's stuff. I mean, when we were out east there, we were doing all the going around and watching the boats and Digby come in and stuff that with all the mussels and all that sort of stuff. And then you go to the restaurant. And, in Greenwood, they had the crab or the clams and stuff like that. Oh, fried clams. Deep fried clams. Oh, so good. That's the first time I ever had anything that fresh. Like, they'd come right off the boat, cleaned, cooked, and, you know, within the hour sort of deal, you're eating what was just off that boat.
Yeah.
So good. So, now I'm hungry now. Anyway, yeah, if you're, like I say, if you're visiting one of these countries that they rely on selling their fish in that to support their families, and you happen to see them out there.
Yeah. It's
not only that, but you get that little bit of education from them too on.
Exactly. You chat them up, have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They may not always be friendly, or maybe they're too busy to be talking to tourists all the time, but.
Yeah, but it takes a little bit of time out of the day and they get some money out of the deal.
Yeah, they get cash on hand right there.
Right. That'd be kind of cool. Speaking of kayaking and vacations. You like that segue?
Sure.
If you're planning a vacation or you live in Florida, the Brevard Zoo in Melbourne, Florida offers a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity you won't want to miss. Now, first off, it's not really a once-in-a-lifetime if you go multiple times. Rather than kayaking through the ocean or springs in the Sunshine State, the Brevard Zoo's kayaking experience allows guests to paddle up close and personal around various lush animal exhibits.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We are the only zoo in the country to offer guided kayaking tours around the animal exhibit, the zoo says.
You get to go pet alligators?
Well, I think you can pretty much do that anywhere.
In Florida, yeah.
Yeah. Zoo goers have the option to explore nature and greet animals on a guided kayaking tour through Expedition Africa or go off on their own adventure in wild Florida. Accessible kayaking is also available. Now, if that's as far as you read, you're thinking, I'm going up and there's a hippo. I'm going to paddle up to the hippo or... During the kayaking adventure, guests will be able to spot the following animals: giraffes, ostriches, impalas, ring-tailed lemurs, zebras, marabou storks, clipspringers, which I have no clue what clipspringers are, and white rhinos. So as I'm paddling up to this white rhino, who's happy to see me, right? kayaking tickets can be purchased from the zoo's main offers for $12.95. Children 5 and under are not permitted to kayak. And those 12 and under must be accompanied by an adult. Melbourne is east of Orlando, just south of Cape Canaveral. So, I mean, you're going... Because Orlando, isn't that where Disney World or whatever it is? Disneyland, Disney World, Disney something?
Yeah, I think that's the closest city.
Epcot Center or something?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know for sure. All that Disney stuff. I've never had
I've been once, but I don't remember.
Urge to go there.
They kind of got their own city. Disney does.
I think they got their own land and world, too.
Yes.
Disneyland and Disney World. I've never heard of Disney City.
No, but they're pretty much a self-governed whatever.
To themselves, yeah.
Yeah, until they got in fights with DeSantis. And
yeah, well, you know. Yeah, I've never had the urge to go there. Everybody, oh, you got to go at least once. No, I don't. No. All those crowds and people and... I can spend that kind of money on so many other things.
Yeah, you know, like I did go to Disney once and...
It was an accident.
It's just... There's so much crowds.
Yeah.
It kind of takes some of it out of it just because if you plan it right and pick the right time of year, like go in April, then, you know, you want to go...
Well, kids are still in school.
Kids are in school, yada, yada, yada. Yeah.
Don't do it March break.
No.
Nope.
Not March break.
Yeah. But I mean, even here, just sort of get off topic there. We got Canada's Wonderland just here.
Yep.
And I was there when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. No. That would have been college. We went. And even then, I'm just like, oh, it's just standing for an hour in line for
it
a
five-minute
ride.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've never been back. That thing, that just doesn't. Anyway, and just south of Cape Canaveral, so could you imagine?
See some rocket launches?
Petting your new friend, the white rhino, while sitting in a kayak and watching a rocket go up?
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeehaw!
That'd be awesome. I gotta think that there's the gates around these, or fences, I should say, around these.
You would hope they're robust. Paddling.
Yes, robust, because, you know. But even still, like, seeing the giraffe leaning over and drinking out of the water or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, there'd be somebody that'd be going up trying to pet it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well,
or poke it.
You'd be separated. There would be double fences, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, but, you know, it's, they have to protect tourists from themselves, because, unfortunately, tourists.
Right?
Like, I follow an Instagram account, the Torons of... tourist morons, Torons of Yellowstone or Torons of this. So I just watched a video today of a woman was getting closer and closer to Buffalo and it got her. It flipped her in the air. She spun, twisted and landed unconscious and the buffalo wandered off into the bushes with her pants on its horn.
There's a meme that went around of two bison talking. Yeah. Hey, tourist flipping season's almost here.
Yes. Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
Every year. So that'd be kind of cool, though, to be sitting there. Brevardzoo.org. B-R-E-V-A-R-D zoo.org for more information on all of this. But yeah, just be kayaking and being looking over and seeing. Give you that false sense of African safari,
exactly.
I must say.
Yeah.
But still, something a bit different, right? Because,
yep.
I mean, the zoos have to make their money, and offering something different is what they got to do. Then that's would appeal to a lot of people.
Exactly.
I was wandering over on Gear Junkie, and there's a story over there, gearjunkie.com. Anyone that spends time outdoors with their kids, especially older ones, will probably enjoy this story, especially if the outdoors really... is a connection for you. It struck a chord with me in more ways than one, especially that we're about to become empty nesters.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like I say, Mackenzie's already gone. Ariana's leaving next month, and that'll be just dog and cats after that.
Yeah.
So I guess they don't really count.
She's not taking the cats with her?
Nope. There's too much of a... With all the... quarantine and all that sort of stuff
exactly.
to get them into the country.
Yeah.
It's just too much. So, and if she's only, and then I guess having to come back if she comes back in a couple of years doing
another
the same
quarantine.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. So it's called More Than Just Boots, How My Gear Became a Rite of Passage. Pair of boots carried my daughter away into an adventure of her own. They've walked on beaches I've never seen. They've stood on boats I'll never sail. Quick summary is a story of a mother and daughter. She grew up learning the outdoors from her mom, camping, fishing, hunting, etc. She started using her mom's gear when she was younger. Now she is at an age where she's leaving home, striking out on her own. At this point, an old pair of boots became more than just an old pair of boots as they get replaced with a new pair. So the mom's boots the girl used to wear, now the girl's got her own.
Yep.
So striking out and the whole... It's actually quite a good story. I've talked before about my grandfather's boots. I think I even did a blog post on our website about it. When he passed away, my grandmother passed them on to me because they fit. she would have no use for them. You know, I mean, my grandfather was like 6 foot something. And
yeah.
I'm 6 foot one. And so, you know, my grandmother was like 5 foot something. So needless to say, they didn't fit her. They fit me. I've used them for many years. I put a lot of kilometers on them, hiking, snowshoeing, winter camp. When we went, that one day you and I went up to Algonquin snowshoeing.
Yep.
I had them on.
Oh, okay.
Right? So, you know, going places that my grandfather never wore the boots, right? So growing up a lot, you know, a lot of time was spent with my grandfather whenever we'd spend time and visit. A lot of it was outdoors or, you know, we'd sort of meet up and, you know, my family and my grandparents would meet up somewhere and we'd all be camping and boating and fishing and all that sort of stuff. So those boots, it was like having a piece of him whenever I was in the outdoor wearing those boots.
Yeah.
Right? It'd be like having a piece of him there, going places I know he would have enjoyed.
Enjoying his athlete's foot.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. Years later, my son Mackenzie needed a pair of boots for a trip, and he borrowed those same boots.
Oh, wow. Three generations.
Right? So, yeah, three generations. And once he started wearing them, I never wore them again.
Oh.
They sort of became his boots. His boots. Right? And like the mother in the article, the boots went places I've never been.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So it's kind of sort of, like I say, that's why I sort of connected with this article here. But it makes you think about a connection, a simple piece of gear can have between people, and it's extra special when it's a family member. Like, I know I've been places with people and they're like, oh, you know, on backcountry trips. And I've had a piece of gear that, you know, somebody's talking about. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I got a spare one. Have this one.
Yeah.
Sort of deal. And the next time you're on a trip with them, they pull out that piece of gear and they're like, oh, dude, this has been awesome. or they got a newer model of what you gave them.
Yeah.
Because they liked it like so much.
They went and bought their own.
Yeah. So it's sort of got that connection through a simple piece of gear, right? And like I say, it's extra special when it's a family member. So like my grandfather's boots, I get the memory of the times that we spent outdoors with my grandfather. I always get the excitement that comes from hearing where my son went in those boots. So, you know, I'm thinking of the stuff that we did while he wore them, and now I'm hearing stories of what my son did when he's wearing them.
I wonder if Beckett will ever start carrying my flat cooking rock that I carry in my food barrel.
That's what you do. You pass it off, right?
It's a nice cooking rock.
So you know what you have to do? You have to get like somebody at the stonework engrave Derek's cooking rock from this date and then a dash. And whenever you pass it off, go back and write in that date, the end date, and then write Beckett's cooking rock and then put the first date, like year.
Yeah.
And then a dash. So whenever he passes it off, he's got to find somebody. Yeah. And it becomes a traditional cooking rock that people can curse you.
It's well seasoned.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's something that unique.
Yeah,
something
exactly.
I mean, it's just different. It's weird.
Son,
but
I'm passing off my 6.5-pound cooking rock
to you. May it serve you well on many occasions. First trip, it accidentally fell overboard.
Yeah, yeah.
Four times before my buddy stopped fishing it out.
Yeah.
But no, it makes you think. And I mean, just like growing up, you know, we would all be upstairs trying to sleep before a camping trip.
Yeah.
And we're hearing my parents downstairs getting the last bit of stuff together to pack into the trailer that sort of. So you're up there in, you know, in your bed all snug as a bug and lights are off.
Yeah.
And all you can hear is your parents downstairs trying to be quiet.
Packing for the trip.
Yeah. And then later on when we had our trailer, well, we still do, but we don't use it. We would be downstairs. Trace and I would be downstairs packing and the kids would, okay, you guys go to bed. get some sleep because we got to get up early and go.
Yeah.
And you know, they're up there having the exact same experience that you had when you were their age of like 9, 8, 7, whatever. And that sort of thing just sort of, it's like a weird tradition that just happens and passes on. And then if they ever get a trailer and kids, then at some point their kids are going to be up there doing the exact same thing.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, you know, like I say, it's there's all the excitement that comes from hearing now, you know, like my son was out on a trip with a piece of gear. Like the time we lent him some camping gear because he wanted to go with his girlfriend. They were going to go car camping. So, well, here's one of our old tents. Take that. Here's, you know, just set him up with all our old gear.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, you know, I mean, part of you is going like, I hope it all still works.
Yeah.
But you're also thinking like, well, you know, now that he's old enough to be out there on his own and, you know, he's learning how to get the stove started and
cook
over it and learning all these new
things. Doing all the things that you used to do.
Yeah. Like when we first started.
Yeah.
Right. That all that sort of stuff. And then the, you know, there's the one time he took all that old gear up car camping and then we get this call. I'm thinking, oh, what happened? He goes, yeah, there's a raccoon that won't leave us alone. This wasn't really something you taught. You know, like he's got, what do we do? And I said, well, just, you got a paddle there, right? So just knock it a few times on the picnic table or get a stick or something, knock it and he won't come close. He'll, you know, because he'll be scared because you're going to hit him. He may hang around, but as long as he's not coming close.
Yeah.
Then you're good. And if it does become a point where he's getting, find a ranger and they'll deal with it.
Yes.
Right? But I mean, so that's sort of now connected to that gear is that trip, that memory and everything like that. So that goes, like I say, with this article this lady wrote about her and her daughter having, you know, sharing gear and all that sort of deal. I can draw a lot of parallels between my kids and myself, right?
Exactly.
And gear that we have. I mean, there's been other gear that, you know, I don't use, like Coleman stoves, tents, and air mattresses, like big air mattresses.
You've learned your mistakes.
Yeah. Mind you, some of this stuff, they would take down to music festivals.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're camped out in the middle of a big field.
Yeah.
And they got a complete setup of camping gear, so they're living in luxury, right? It's all my old handoffs.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, at least they're not taking all this stuff into the backcountry in a canoe. They didn't have to portage it, right? So, you know, going through this article, at some point you have to let go knowing your kids are using your old gear and it's keeping that connection between you and them, even though you're giving them the freedom.
Yep.
You know, there's still that little connection and it's through that piece of gear. And with that freedom, all you can do is hope that when your kid is out in the backcountry with some friends and they're sparking up that stove or slipping on the boots or whatever, that, you know, they think of you and they come back with exciting stories to tell you of their own gear. And eventually they do the same sort of thing with their own kids.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting,
It is. It is. So, like I say, this
passing
this,
on the torch.
Yeah. And like I say, this article sort of just struck that chord. And I think it has to do with the fact that, like I say, we're empty nesters next month and, you know, just saying, oh yeah, he's gone and he's doing that. But even now, I mean, he's with the reserves and they're away all summer. But there was other things there was talking about, you know, we got these little crappy canteens and stuff like that. And they don't really fit. And I said, well, what about an Nalgene bottle that we always use? I said, well, I need a dark one. So come downstairs here, buddy, take that. And it fits perfectly in his kit. This dark Nalgene bottle. You know, and telling them, oh, don't go with the Gatorade, go with the BioSteel. It's more expensive, but so much better, especially in heat and everything to replace your electrolytes. Little things like that. So even though he's, you know, he's the grown-up guy now, he's off doing his own thing, he still has that connection through various types of gear and little tips, and we can talk about stuff. You know, he's like sleeping pads.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, yeah, when we're out in the field, we got these sleeping pads, and we're doing this, and we're doing that. And, oh, I got this sleeping pad. If you're looking for one, try this one, and that sort of deal, back and forth. Mm-hmm. So there's still that connection through gear.
Yep.
You know, and I hope that's a connection we have for some time to come. My daughter's moving to Japan.
Yeah.
And apparently where she's going, the area she's going, or close to, there's a lot of canoeing.
Oh, yeah?
So nice. She's eventually going to get herself a vehicle of some sort, and then she can start going out, and so that when we go visit, then we can go out and do the canoeing thing.
Exactly.
We've been doing that here, right?
Yeah.
Was taking her down to Duffin's and that, and I'll do the kayak, and she'll do the prospector, and learned teaching her how to solo paddle a 16-foot prospector. Awesome! But no, she gets it. She enjoys it, and it's that connection, right? Now, mind you, she's not getting my canoe. But there's that connection that comes with exactly. gear like that. So,
yeah, now you need to listen to the song Cats in the Cradle.
Oh, right. No, I've always got time for this sort of stuff. But no, it's yeah. So if you go to Gear Junkie, JUNKIE.com, and the article, More Than Just Boots, How My Gear Became a Rite of Passage. Read that article, and it's a really nice story, and I think you'll enjoy it. And like I say, anybody that has kids, especially older kids, that you're all, you know, your connection to each other is through the outdoors, you'll like this article. What else we got here? Oh, yes, this next one's some. I got into gear searching again. We were talking about keeping stuff cold on a trip. Someone was like, so, like, when you go back there, like, in the backcountry, like, how do you keep all your meat and stuff and your yogurt and, well, number one, I'm not taking yogurt in the backcountry because, blah. You know, how do you keep all that cool for so long? Well,
a lot of people, like, I don't know, for years, first few days, if you start with your meat frozen, like, you know, chicken first day, steak second day, and keep it wrapped in newspaper and so on, they stay, like, I've been second day having to wait for the steaks to thaw. And
oh,
like,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So
if you do it now, I'll take my steak.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrap it in saran wrap.
Yeah.
Cling wrap. And then I may do some tinfoil, but then newspaper.
Yes.
Right? And a couple things in newspaper, elastic bands to
keep it. Leftover bubble wrap or...
Safe. no, like newspaper. I'll wrap it in newspaper and you freeze it.
Yeah.
And the newspaper will help insulate, keep the cold in.
Exactly.
Right? You put that in some sort of cooler bag or something like that. The cooler bags I have anymore are not... a newer style cooler bag. They're collapsible, but they don't really, they'll last a day or two tops.
It's enough. Right? It's enough to, yeah. So, you know, for your morning coffee, you can still have a little bit of milk on the first 3 days or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it starts to turn and it's like, okay, I guess I'm drinking Baileys. Black coffee.
Yeah.
Baileys usually last a lot longer. Yeah.
I never bring, I still will sometimes. If you go to the bulk barn,
mm-hmm.
you can still get milk powder.
Yes.
And then you just add some water and you've got instant milk.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest, but if you want milk,
mm-hmm.
and you can tailor to how much, you know, just throw a spoonful into your coffee or make a liter of it for cereal or whatever.
We usually have powdered milk in the house just for some of the recipes that we make calls for powdered milk.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can still get that sort of thing. Anyway, so that conversation was, you know, you freeze it and then you have it for a couple of days and throw some ice into there. I mean, you don't want to be bringing ice packs because if you do, then you've got to carry them.
Yeah, you're going to carry them the whole trip. Exactly. Yeah.
If you're on a 10-day trip, you're only expect to keep stuff cold for 2-3 days tops.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so the first night meal, the second night meal.
And then,
if you're lucky, the third, but don't count on it, right? That's when you hop into the freeze-dried and the dehydrated stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
So.
Done with the fresh food.
Yeah. So, like I say, our soft coolers have had their day. They now hold stuff and will keep stuff cold for a fraction of what they used to. Some of them leak, don't hold all the water in anymore. You know, they've seen their day.
Yeah.
So upon that conversation, I said, I should really start looking at new coolers. And I'm not bringing in a hard shell cooler. Because that's just...
No, because you want to be able to fold it, roll it, whatever, strap it. Like, I've got one that I got at Lee Valley. It's no longer available. I just looked for it before we started recording. Mm-hmm. So it's like an Arctic Zone. It's self-inflating. So it's like got a Therm-a-Rest air nozzle on it. So once you let it self-inflate a bit, you add some more air to it. And it's a very good cooler. And I've had it... This is my second one. I've had it for a couple of years now. And it's great because once after day three, when I don't need the cooler anymore, I can roll it into a tube and I usually just bungee it to the bottom of one of the canoe seats and it stays there for the rest of the trip. And,
yeah.
You know, so it's protected from branches and whatever. It's inside the canoe. And so it's great for that way, right? It's nice to be able to pack it away when you're done with it. You're not going to bring a hard-sided cooler into the backcountry, but...
Oh, I've seen them though.
Yeah, oh, I've seen it too. But, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, well, I want to do chicken for the first night. I want to do steak for the second night. And then I'll roll the thing up and I won't need it anymore.
Yeah. We have a square one that we'll bring and it folds down and it's a bit softer. So yeah. I'll put that sometimes like on the back of my pack.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm doing portage and with the pack on, there's that extra bit of, comfiness sort of thing, right? Not a pot sticking into your backbone.
Exactly.
So anyway, there was a list of the best soft coolers on the market right now. They're definitely not as cheap as they used to be.
Yeah, they get pretty fancy, some of these new coolers. Yeah. Reflective layers and heat reflective layers, yada, yada, yada.
Double walled and, So the best overall soft cooler is the Yeti Hopper Flip 12 Soft Cooler. Yeti's got their name on everything nowadays, right? Yeah. When it comes to coolers and...
And they spend the time and testing to build a good product, too.
Yeah. So it's 14.3 by 10.7 by 12 inches. 12-liter capacity. It weighs 3 pounds. Ice retention test, 3 days.
That's pretty good.
Right? If I can get 3 days of ice...
Yep.
That's pretty good. Pros, lightweight, durable, waterproof, great insulation, floats.
There you go. That's important.
There you go. Cons, pricey. Zipper is not the most durable.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. From the get-go, the Yeti Hopper Flip 12 Soft Cooler, $250 American.
Ooh, that's steep.
Was reliable and durable. It was reassuring to know it would get the job done, keep our things cold through all the adventures. There are also smaller sizes of an 8 and a larger size of an 18. So this is like the mid-size.
Yep.
Took this cooler out on multiple fishing trips and day trips to check out some new lakes, as well as a long drive back to Colorado from southern Utah. At the lake, the Hopper Flip was the perfect size for our day trip and fit enough drinks and snacks for 2 or 3 people. After sitting in direct sun for a few hours, with an ice pack inside, our bubbly waters and snacks were still refreshingly cold and chilled, thanks to the closed cell technology. It remained waterproof as it floated near the shore after the lake waves dragged it into the water. That's a big thing is when you're at camp and the sun during the day moves.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, that's the thing is you put your thing in the shade.
Yeah.
And then as the sun moves, you got to move it. So it sort of makes a trip around the tree, like the moon around the earth sort of thing.
Remember
I
had a Nalgene full of trail mix.
Yeah.
And on our trip last year, the sun moved, and in my trail mix was some chocolate, and it just became a brick, solid chocolatey nuts.
Oh, that was so tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Car ride, along with being lightweight and easy to carry with lots of different carrying options, like the lid handle, side handles, additional adjustable shoulder strap. The box shape of the Yeti Hopper Flip 12 was convenient to store and didn't collapse when other bags were stacked on top of it.
Oh, perfect.
So in the car, you can stack stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
Kept our drinks and produce cool for the whole 9.5 hour drive with varying temperatures and sun exposure. Love the additional clip-on shoulder strap. Its material is supportive and soft, almost like a memory foam pad, and it made carrying the cooler along the trail a much better experience. So if you've got that separate with some cold stuff in it,
yeah,
and you're doing a portage, this is perfect,
mm-hmm.
right? On this build, the exterior material was incredibly durable, withstood scratches and dents after being scraped along branches, along the trails, dragged around on the rocky ground. Once the lake day was over and we were unpacking, cleaning out the inside of the cooler was made easy since we could see all the corners and get to all the crevices. The rigid construction kept the side walls from caving in, and the openness of the insulated liner proved fast, easy cleaning, and made it painless to organize and see the contents inside. That's one of the things that they're talking about, is making sure you can see everything in it, right? As opposed to some of them are narrow and you can't see everything at the bottom. Everything's piled up. Ice retention tests concluded that it could hold ice for about 3 days. Yeti doesn't claim a specific number of hours for ice retention due to the myriad of environmental factors you may encounter. The Flip 12 can fit 24 cans only, or solely 16 pounds. To give you an idea of the capacity, this soft cooler is definitely on the pricier side, but the insulative effectiveness and other design features made it stand apart from the other coolers in this guide as our top favorite. So the Yeti Hopper Flip 12 soft cooler seems to be the fave, the best one out of all of them, but $250 US.
Is this the one here? Is it doesn't look collapsible.
It's soft side.
Yeah, it is soft sided.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeti Hopper Flip 12.
Mm-hmm.
The best budget soft cooler. Arctic Zone Titan Bucket Tote. Kind of like these names, eh? 15 by 10 by 13 and a half. 33 liter capacity. That's like 33 liter Nalgenes. Weight, 1.8 pounds. Ice retention, 3 days. Pros, great ice retention. Two over-the-shoulder straps Velcro together alongside an optional shoulder strap. Includes a bottle opener.
Nice.
Right? Aren't most of them twist off nowadays?
Yes. And I imagine that you're not going to be needing a bottle opener in the backcountry.
Right. Cons. A few of us didn't prefer the look. They just don't like the way it looks. That's a con. And the lid's zipper is not waterproof.
Oh, okay.
That's a bit of a drawback if you're doing a paddling trip. Sitting squarely on the economy train, the Arctic Zone Titan Bucket Tote, $53. It's a great budget cooler that keeps our ice cold for long durations. Trio took the cooler fly fishing on Colorado's Gunnison River, carrying along water and various canned beverages. Temps that day hovered around 80 Fahrenheit or 27 Celsius. That's not all that hot, but
it's hot enough.
Hot enough. Despite being left in the car for a full day following the river outing, the cooler still had ice and felt cold. That well-founded retention is thanks to the brand's blend of proprietary insulation, interior radiant barrier, a thick base made of 3 layers of superfoam. We also found the water and stain-resistant exterior very durable. The inside was easy to clean, you just wipe it clean. Shape and weight felt easy to move around, and the handles were comfortable. We appreciate all the pockets to help us keep odds and ends organized. Two zipper pockets included one that fits a phone and two huge broad mesh pockets. Which is cool for little odds and ends on the outside, right?
Just yeah.
Throw stuff in there. The ice retention test, it's capable of holding ice for up to 70 hours. Fit 2 dozen 12-ounce cans. So that's like a 2-4 of Coke cans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's
soda
the
pop.
Ticket.
Soda pop.
Soda pop. We're quite confident it's the best soft cooler for the price.
And
$53?
Yeah.
You don't mind bashing that around,
mm-hmm.
right? $250 to $300, you're, yeah, you might be worried about that one. The sturdiest soft cooler is the Orca Walker 20. 14.5 by 11 by 13.25 inches, 33 liters again. This one's 3.6 pounds, and again, ice retention 3 days. Pros, the cooler won't leak through waterproof top zippers or seams, and that's a bonus. Small stretch exterior pocket and bungee cords to hold down items. Cons, magnetic split handle is not comfortable to grab when divided as two straps.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 We use the Orca Walker 20, $250, for tailgating at trailheads after hikes and park barbecues. Ultimately, this is an excellent cooler for single-day adventures. Our team was most impressed by the exterior, which is tough and doesn't get banged up. So, yeah, stuff like that is what you're looking for, because if you're taking it on a canoe trip on portages and stuff like that, it'll probably be kicked even at some point. Design's insulation is a metal-coated plastic blend, which did a solid job of preserving the ice and goods. We love the soft interior liner and the waterproof zipper that prevents any leaks from the top. Ours zipper is not waterproof anymore, and it leaks. And if you got leaks, you know when you're getting some heat exchanged in there.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Two side handles aren't the most comfortable to grab, and we wish they weren't adjacent to the shoulder strap attachment points. Center magnetic handle is smooth and nice to grab, but when the hand grip is detached into two separate pieces, they're not comfortable to grasp.
Oh.
Again, with the ice retention capable for holding ice up to 70 hours, and fits 20 12-ounce cans. So not quite a 2-4, but if you're, you know, with four friends, then you've got 20 in there and you're each drinking one. The best large soft cooler is the Snow Peak Soft Cooler 38.
And as a general rule, I think the number is usually how many cans it holds.
Well, it's the liter capacity, too, on some of them. Like, this one's a 38-liter capacity. 3.8 pounds. Ooh, ice retention, only 2.5 days. So you can't go on that three-day trip this time.
Yeah.
Pros, large capacity, supple and easy to carry. Cons, the lid's zipper is not waterproof, a bit overpriced for the low ice retention, but worth the cost for collapsibility. One of our favorite products overall was the Snow Peak Soft Cooler 38, $185. Sub-200, so...
Yeah.
Even given its large size, it was still very comfortable to transport due to the soft, malleable walls. With the simple, wide-handle Velcro together, we could sling the cooler over our shoulders when it was fully loaded. So something this big, if you're going in a group.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
This is perfect, because then you throw all that extra stuff in there for the first couple of days.
It'd be an ideal car camping type thing, mm-hmm. or I don't know that it's kind of too big for backcountry stuff.
Well, like I say, if it's in a big group, you got a group of people going, right?
Yeah.
So everybody's, you got one big bag filled with cold stuff, as opposed to six people bringing their own small personal one.
And how many days did it say it would hold ice?
2.5.
2.5 days.
Right? Which is, like say, day of and the next day's meal.
Yeah.
Right? And then a couple of ice cubes left over for drinks on the third day.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hard cooler this size would require two hands to move, but the flexible walls allowed us to flatten and fold the cooler for easy storage, saving us space. Exterior is made of synthetic plastic and nylon, so it's not resilient or for a rugged whitewater trip, but is suitable for base camp, like you say. There's ample space to carry multiple meals for several people. The insulated walls have an interior aluminum coat that helps trap cold air, and the ice retention is adequate for single and two-day adventures. You want a versatile cooler with a bit more volume than the traditional soft cooler? Look no further. They use this on a weekend road trip to climb Colorado Sangre de Cristo Mountains and camp out, but wouldn't be able to retain ice for longer durations. So this was a weekend trip. But that's, like I say, that's a big space worth of food, right?
Big.
So you take that backcountry, you're base camping because you're not wanting to portage.
No, exactly.
More than you have to. Most eco-friendly soft cooler, the Cotopaxi Helio 12-liter cooler bag, Del Dia.
Quite the name. The name is bigger than the cooler.
Right? 12 liters, 1.6 pounds. Ice retention test unavailable. Pros, saves throwaway scraps from the landfill. Each cooler bag is one of a kind. The design process empowers employees behind each cooler pack. Cons, the zippers, zipper pulls, buckles, and thread are tailored to each bag, so you are not totally sure what to expect.
Oh.
So they're made from recycled stuff, right?
Yeah.
With plenty of pizzazz, the Cotopaxi Helio, $105, is among Cotopaxi's repurpose collection. Each bag is constructed with leftover high-quality nylon and polyester fabric from other companies' manufacturing runs, saving those scraps from going to a landfill. At the brand's partner factory in the Philippines, the designers and sewers choose mixed and matched fabric for each pack. No two cooler bags are the same. I think we've talked about that company before.
Cotopaxi?
Yep. No two cooler bags are the same. Each one is creatively unique. What is the same? Each pack features a roll-top closure that's secured with a buckle. For grab-and-go, there's a handle on the back and carry tote-style strap. To consider the scale, the bag can carry up to a dozen 12-ounce cans.
It's colorful. It's a nice bag.
Mm-hmm. Each one's different. There's a water bottle pocket up to 3 inches in diameter on the side. So, yeah, it's all made from repurposed materials. And that's one of the big selling points of it. $105, not bad.
That's not too bad, yeah.
Right? Exactly. So again, you don't mind beating that one around a bit. And I'd like to know what the ice retention test is, though, but they can't give it to you because each one's different.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So hopefully at least 1 to 2 days. Best collapsible design for storage. The REI Co-op Packaway Soft Cooler. 32 liters, 1.5 pounds, 2+ days, it says. So 2 days.
Yeah.
Pros, daisy chains and spacious external pocket with a zipper. Transforms into a tote, cube, and flat for storage. Lightweight. Cons, can't stack any item on top of this soft cooler. Tote is wobbly, doesn't dependably stand upright. Tote zipper is not waterproof. See, that's the kind of soft cooler I have is, like, you can't put anything on it. Because it'll just...
Same as mine.
Squish.
Same as mine.
Yeah.
The one I have, my inflatable one, looks very similar to this.
Right.
So it's got the side clips to hold it into a box form. As soon as you undo the side clips, it turns into a bag type thing. It's very close. It's like almost identical design, except mine's inflatable.
If you have limited storage space, consider the REI Co-op Packaway Soft Cooler, $55. Again, that price.
Yeah.
This origami-inspired design collapses and folds flat when it's not a cube or a tote. When transformed into a box or bag shape, the cooler is light, nimble, and malleable. No other cooler would have fit into the awkward floor space behind our seats. We loaded the Packaway into our Jeep for navigating Colorado's high-altitude Alpine Loop, a 65-mile route that circumnavigates old mining roads through the San Juan Mountains. Cooler held lunch meats, cheese, veggies, dark chocolate, and seltzer waters. The eco-friendly design features a recycled polyester upper and recycled nylon bottom. It's also Blue Sign approved, which we appreciate. Overall, we found the cooler Durable, given it's made with a tough polyester shell and abrasion-resistant nylon bottom. It also has decent ice retention. Size and insulation are ideal for a single day out. According to the ice retention test, this cooler can retain ice for 57 hours and fit 24 12-ounce cans. Yeah, so 1 to 2 days.
Yeah,
that's a weekend trip, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Don't really need more than that.
Weekend warrior trip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Every item carrying the Blue Sign product or approved label has been manufactured to strict safety and environmental requirements. Known as the Blue Sign criteria, these are the highest standards in the industry. So
there you go.
This has that Blue Sign approved.
And that pack is currently on sale until July 4th, end of day, for $38.39 through REI.
And if you're listening to this as it's put on, you've missed the sale.
Well, no. So when we upload this, it'll still be on sale for the day of recording at the end of the day on July 4th. Right?
Nope. That was last week.
Oh, that's last week.
See, that's the thing with having a record extra early.
So when you're listening
to this. This is July 11th.
Yes.
You've missed the sale.
Sale is over.
Right?
You missed it.
Way to go, Derek. He gave them hope and snatched it away. But Derek said it was on sale. No, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Too many bugs in his teeth.
There's lots of July 4th sales. You missed them all.
You missed them all. Best of the rest. So there's a couple extra here. Eddie Bauer recycled bygone convertible cooler tote. I wonder if they got people that just sit there and just make up names for stuff. 30-liter, weight not available, ice retention 2.3 days. That's an odd number. 2.3. It's not going to last a whole 2.5 days.
Yeah.
But it'll last 2.3. So 10 o'clock in the morning, specific. You're done. Right?
It's right down to the minute.
Right? Pros. Inexpensive, compactable, made from recycled materials, storage capacity. Cons, shorter ice retention, exterior not waterproof, not leak-proof. Offering a pleasant surprise, the Eddie Bauer recycled bygone convertible cooler tote at $80 truly packages up ease of use, affordability, and sustainability into one. These elements made up for the zipper not being leak-proof and for the cooler not staying as cold as other coolers. We appreciate that this cooler is made with recyclable polyester fibers from Reprieve, providing a more eco-friendly option. Other notable design components include the water-resistant outer material, resistant, not proof, and the easy-to-use zipper. Cooler also floats when empty on the water. Well, that's not going to help. Bygone cooler tote joined us on a long cross-country road trip holding our travel snacks for us. It fit nicely behind the car seat. When we got hungry, it was easy to grab whatever we wanted to munch on. When the cooler was fully unhinged, the mouth opened up extra wide and it was easy to see all the goods. Eddie Bauer states this cooler tote can hold up to 36 cans plus ice. Tailgater. Which we found to be accurate. For low cost price, the pros of this cooler make up for the subpar ice retention. It's a great find in the budget arena. Huh. And they said it remained cold and held some ice for 51 hours.
51
hours.
Hours.
Yeah.
That's your 2.3 days.
There's your 0.3 hours, yeah. And the last one is the RTIC 20 can soft pack cooler. 12 liters, 3 pounds, ice for 3 days. Pros, multiple handles for carrying options, great insulation, ability to float. Cons, narrow storage makes it difficult to organize and see cooler items at the bottom. An additional pocket is small and tight. Compared to the Yeti Hopper Flip 12 cooler, a soft cooler, the RTIC 20 can soft pack cooler for $99, which is like $150 cheaper,
yeah,
definitely checks off an equally impressive ice retention and insulative effectiveness. Plus, it's significantly cheaper. We brought this cooler car camping with us in Colorado for 3 days to begin the trip. We had a large ice pack in it. Once that thawed, we switched to bags of ice. Our food stayed nice and cool for the first couple of days before the ice started to melt faster and the air inside then cooler warmed up. Considering it was sitting in the sun for most of the day, this RTIC pack was reliable and effective at the job thanks to the thick walls composed of closed cell foam. Unfortunately, the shape and the height of the cooler make the storage space pretty narrow. Looking at it from the outside, the cooler looks like it will fit more than it actually can. The walls are 2 inches thick, and the lid is robust.
Robust.
The shape works well for canned drinks, but other than that, the narrowness of the storage space makes it difficult to organize. Our ice retention test ended approximately 3 days in when all the ice had fully melted. Comparable stats to the Yeti Hopper Flip 12, which is their best one, they said. Claims 20 can keep your drinks cool for 24 hours. It claimed that our tests more than verified. And it did indeed fit 20 cans, just as the name suggests. A great overall cooler, especially for water goers.
Water goers?
Water goers.
What's a water goer?
Paddlers.
So I was looking at some reviews for this one. They're saying that it's directly comparable to the Yeti. It's mm-hmm. it's like an economy Yeti.
Yeah.
But it's got the same quality and features. And look at the reviews. It's got a whole lot of 5 stars.
Right.
And looking at the photos of it, it looks very similar to a lot of lunch bags I see people at work with.
You know what? I was going through some of these different ones they're talking about. And some of them are like, look like a big old purse.
Yes.
Or something, like something you're getting from those bags, reusable bags you get from the grocery store.
Exactly.
Stuff like that. That's what they're looking like.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not hauling one of those around.
But this one looks like a lunch bag.
Yeah. Hey, as long as any of these are going to keep ice and stuff cold for a couple of days at least.
Exactly, yeah.
Then that's perfect. And that was, that was their list of ones that they seem to like.
Yeah, I can repurpose it between trips as your work lunch bag.
Right? 12 cans. 24 cans. It's going to be a long day. I better pack the 24. that would be all I have right now. Anything else for you?
I do not. I'm looking at some of these photos. I'm looking at all of these coolers. I'm in the market for a lunch bag. I might be going through one of these. My inflatable cooler is not a good lunch bag for work.
Right.
But this here, this RTSC one looks really nice. It's got a good design.
So order it, buy it,
mm-hmm.
try it. Let me know how it works compared to what they said.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we're not going to have the Colorado-type heat and Utah heat.
No.
But like I say, my big thing is as long as it keeps the stuff cold, especially on when you're portaging and stuff like that. Or like I say, when I have a cooler bag like that in the canoe while we're during the day when we're paddling, I try to put it under. Something, right?
Yeah.
Or something that'll fit under the seat or lay something on top of it sort of deal to keep it out of direct sun. That kind of makes it last a little bit longer. Yeah. So, alrighty.
Very cool.
Well, I hope you're enjoying your trip.
I hope so,
Your driving trip.
Yeah.
And you make it back for next week's show.
I survived.
Alrighty. Well, if you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can download or stream our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or you can just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com, and you can stream or download all our episodes there. If you enjoyed the podcast, please share it with your friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.